Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready?
People-pleasing is an epidemic talked about by everyone, but rarely taken seriously by anyone. In this episode, we're having a raw conversation about why people-pleasing is actually harmful to you, despite what many Christians may say. So yeah, obviously we need to take care of other people. We need to love other people above ourselves at times. It says so in Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. But the Apostle Paul speaks directly against people pleasing and says this, and it's found in Galatians 1:10. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So evidently, Paul is saying that striving to please people may even be more dangerous than we suspected. Think about all the times that you've people pleased in your life. Mm-hmm. How's that really worked out for you? For me, it's not been so good. So in this case, to try to please people is to reject and even oppose Christ. And to please people then is to, I mean, it's kind of sometimes to indulge in sinfulness and to abandon obedience and to defy God.
So some of us are almost totally and reluctantly captive to the desires of others. Mm-hmm. In any situation, this impulse, it tempts us to do or say what we think others want us to do mm-hmm. or say. We meticulously and sometimes even unconsciously, I know for me, I used to be a big people pleaser and I did not even realize mm-hmm. that I was living my life like this, but we calculate how each person will respond to each decision.
Yep.
Then do what will make the most people the most happy. Mm-hmm. This kind of people pleasing, it becomes an exhausting treadmill of micromanaging situations, conversations, and relationships. Yet we are still supposed to love and care for others.
Yeah, it's such a hard balance. So how do we find the balance to love and care for others while also loving and caring for ourselves in a way that isn't people pleasing, yet still people aware? So we came across detailed, like really inspiring story by this woman named Eileen Strauss, who shared her struggle with people pleasing and how she started living life on her own terms. And what we really liked about this story is that it has a really psychological element to it. If you know me at all, like I love psychology, my degree's in psychology, like my whole job and career is based around how people's brains work. So the fact that this is steeped in how our human brain works, like scientifically, like this is just a really powerful way to look into people pleasing. So Noelle, if you will read Eileen's story.
Once upon a time, I was a major people pleaser. Same girl, same. A real pushover. I didn't know where other people ended and I began. And my decisions were based on what would make other people happy or comfortable. Mm-hmm. I thought this made me easygoing, likable, and generally pretty cool. Little did I know that it really just made me lost, confused, and pretty unlikable.
Oof, stepping on my own toes yeah. there.
You see, when you go through life as a pleaser, you aren't living on your own terms. You think you're being nice, agreeable, and drama-free, but keeping your true self beneath the surface doesn't do anyone any favors. It just results in you being surrounded by rude, selfish, and unforgiving people who, instead of appreciating that you've put their needs first, treat you like a doormat. For most of my life, I used people-pleasing in the same way other people use drugs, alcohol, food, or shopping, as a way to avoid the discomfort of others' disapproval.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. When it came to being disliked, invalidated, or perceived as being in the wrong, I was really a big baby. I could get into my childhood traumas and the events that prompted my need to please. But more important than why this all started is how I learned to overcome it. Because if you're anything like I was, you know that at some point you have to stop trying to please others and do something for yourself for a change. Sitting around praying for people to understand how much pressure they put on you, or hoping they'll one day lessen their demands, drama, and constant urgencies is futile. Without changing your own behaviors, this kind of wishing and hoping isn't just foolish, it's straight up counterproductive. A few years ago, I realized that the only authentic way out of my people-pleasing dilemma was to start becoming aware of my own internal world, recognizing that the only person I could change was myself.
Man, that's good.
Yeah. I know for me, like in therapy, talking about being a recovering people-pleaser, that's what I always call myself. A lot of my people pleasing stemmed from my childhood. Mm-hmm. It was the home of being in a home and you were praised when you were doing the right thing, and you were like bad when you were doing the wrong thing. And so, and not that that's bad. I feel like as parents, we do that and we don't even realize it. Like we praise our kids so much, like when they're doing good. And then when they're bad, we're really hard on them. Mm-hmm. But I've carried that with me my whole life. I think, oh, if I'm doing good, 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 I'm going to be praised. And then if I'm bad, you're in the wrong, it's like bad, 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 you know? And I've really carried that with me.
Yeah, for me, I learned in therapy that chronic people pleaser, like from as long as I can remember. And like, I didn't even really realize it was people pleasing per se. I just knew that I was constantly aware of how I made other people feel, wanted to make sure everyone was comfortable and happy. Like, I'll eat dirt, you have this food. Like, I'll sit on the roof, like you have my seat. It's like, so over the top. That's like a running joke with my friends and family even now. But I realized in therapy, I felt so overly responsible for everyone around me. And that stemmed from so many things in childhood. And what, like, that was the biggest light bulb moment to me was, wow, like I feel responsible for managing Noelle's emotions. Like if I say or do something, I feel responsible for how it makes you react or how it makes you feel. And I was doing that to everyone around me. And man, it was wildly unhealthy. And I never knew because it was just normal for me. It's how I lived all of my relationships. And so that light bulb moment in therapy was like, okay, I'm not responsible for anyone else's emotions around me. And that's hard when you are used to doing it. So it was a process to step back and learn, okay, like I have to put myself first sometimes. Like, what I do or say affects others, but it doesn't mean I'm responsible for their emotions. So how do we stop this cycle? Like, how do we stop people pleasing and find a healthy balance? So we're going to read some of the things that Eileen did to stop people pleasing and start living her own terms. And a lot of these, like I've implemented myself or I've had these revelations, so I know that they work. So take notes. Like, if I don't know if you're driving or if you're sitting in your house or if you want to come back to the episode, but I promise you these things are extremely effective if you can grasp them.
So first, become self-aware. The greatest changes begin when we look at ourselves with interest and respect instead of judgment and denial. This is hard for me. Mm-hmm. When we invite our thoughts and feelings into awareness, we have the opportunity to learn from them instead of unconsciously reacting to them, and we increase our awareness of reality by being willing to encounter our personal truths. Mm-hmm. When she did this, it gave her a better handle on her impulse to please, and it allowed her to notice when she wasn't being helpful. Mm-hmm. It gave her a choice to make different moves.
And I struggle even now with, not with self-awareness, but when I was in therapy, I wanted to know why. That was the biggest thing. Like, why am I this way or why this way? And I think that's important to a certain degree. And my therapist would get, Sydney would get on my nerves so bad when she'd be like, the why doesn't matter as much as you are thinking it does. Don't try to think about the why, just think about what is, either be neutral. It depends on the situation we were talking about, like either be neutral with your emotions or just look at your actions in the moment and then make changes. Like the why doesn't matter. You just need to change your actions, period. Mm-hmm. And that was like really hard for me to grasp, but it's so true. Become self-aware. Like in this moment, why am I trying to people please Noelle? What is the root of that? Am I afraid she's going to reject me? Am I afraid that she's not going to like me? Am I afraid that she's not going to hang out with me anymore? If I say like what I think or what I like if I want to eat pizza instead of a salad, is she going to judge me? You know what I mean? Like become self-aware of why you're doing it in the moment, and it becomes easier to start making those little changes. The next thing is realize that doing too much hurts rather than helps relationships. And that one was a big one for me that I also did not realize was actually, you know, hurting my relationship. So through Eileen's education, she learned that the health of her relationships depended on her willingness to take care of her share and be true to herself. She learned that when you do too much for others, you overfunction in your relationships, which inevitably leads others to underfunction. It's like a natural like cycle of life there. So though her intentions were good, they ultimately hindered the overall effectiveness of her relationships. And I saw this in my relationship with my best friend a few years ago, the chronic people pleasing, I think on both of our ends, we had like a really codependent relationship with each other because we both were people pleasers and we didn't see it until we both got in therapy. And then our therapists were like, this is a little codependent. And then, you know, you pull back that layer, we're like, wow, like this actually isn't a healthy relationship because of that chronic need to please. Have you experienced that?
So for me, more so, I think in my line of work, I do this because I have to like pull it out of myself and be like, no, ma'am, like that self-awareness. I feel like I am pretty good at being self-aware and I am aware of when I am people pleasing and I'm like, you got to stop. But I see this like dependency in what I do, like in mentorship and leadership, where it's like you're pleasing, pleasing, pleasing. And then it does lead those others to underfunction. And so not so much in my friendships, but definitely in my career.
Yeah. And this is like, I guess maybe a sidebar, but I want to make a distinction between like people pleasing and then serving others. Yes. Because I think as Christians, it's hard to find that line of like, I have a heart for serving. Mm-hmm. I have a heart for helping. I want to show you love. I want to do, I want to help. I want to like, you know, sacrifice myself to build you up. And I think that is right and true and correct. And we should be doing those things. And I think it comes down to motive. Am I doing or saying things to get your approval? Am I doing or saying things to pacify the relationship? Am I doing or saying things out of fear of rejection, out of fear of being disliked? Or am I just doing it out of the goodness of my heart because the Lord is prompting me to sacrifice of myself? You know, like I think it comes down to you have to search your heart of why you're saying you're doing certain things. And if you do that, I think there's going to be a clear line of, oh, I'm people pleasing. Yes, like I'm trying to earn love here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sure that I'm safe in this relationship and have stability, or, oh, I genuinely want to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all about your heart posture and all that you do, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Next is understand the importance of being authentic. Eileen came to terms with the fact that we're all unique individuals. We should be able to act authentically and connect with who we are and what we value instead of always doing what others want. And this one for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, how many times in my life have I done this?
Yeah.
Like just gone with the flow, like done things. I was like, oh, this just truly isn't authentic to me. This is not what I stand for. Just to like please the crowd.
Yep.
You know? And then it just, this episode really does make me proud of like how far we've come in this, because I can see myself in each of these situations and scenarios. And I'm like, man, I've really grown since then.
Yeah. Like that part of just, instead of always doing what other wants, like you should be able to act authentically. I've just in the last year or two really started to implement that in the sense of if I just truly do not want to go out or do a certain thing or a certain activity, or if I don't want to be around a certain person or whatever it is, I just simply say so. Like, you know, I don't make an excuse. I don't worry about what they're going to think. Like, it's such a freedom in that mindset that I didn't know existed. So like if Noelle invites me out Friday to somewhere that I'm not comfortable going or don't like, I'll just simply straight up be like, no, like I don't really want to go. I'm not comfortable with it. And I don't worry about how that affects her because I'm not responsible for her feelings. I kindly, respectfully said what I needed to say, and then I didn't worry about it. And again, it's so hard to do that when you chronically do it and you've done it subconsciously for years and didn't even know it. You feel like a butthole. You feel so mean. You feel like you're going to get rejected. You just feel all these awful things. But if you can continue to push through those feelings and do it and like not people please in the moment, I promise you, there's a freedom that comes with it. It does take time. It takes consistency and it takes time.
It's going to upset people. So be prepared that it's going to upset people. At first, people are going to be like, oh, I don't like this. Yep. You know, like, I do not like this at all.
Yep.
But then I do think in time it compounds into respect.
Yes.
Like, oh man, I respect her for not going and putting herself in that situation mm-hmm. any longer because it no longer served her.
Yep.
So don't just push through the resistance because there is respect on the other end of
it. Yeah, that's a really good point. And the next thing that I only learned is learning to let go. If you're stuck in the past and you can't let go of things that happened to you, the chances are you're accepting what your abusers, bullies, or other negative people in your life believe about you. And you're going to just remain imprisoned by them, like never able to access your full potential if you don't learn to let go. And she had to learn to let go of all the hateful things people had said to her that had her living in fear of others' disapproval. And like, that was so big for me. A root of my people pleasing is just fear of rejection. Like, yes. I've struggled so much my whole life with fearing rejection from other people. So again, I would just stay in that cycle of making others happy because I feared rejection so much. And what did it do? Nothing. It gave me such an unhealthy everything.
Yeah. And I feel like this happens a lot in your family.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you'll just dust things under the rug because you're like, oh, this is my family. Like, yep. This is how they are. But this sticks out to me the most, especially in my marriage and in our families, mm-hmm. is that I've really had to learn to let go of mm-hmm. what people have said or let go of the limiting beliefs of family and what I do or what God yes. has called me to do. I've just had to press through and move on past that because yeah. it does that part where it says that you're accepting what your abusers and your bullies or other negative people mm-hmm. in your life believe about you. That becomes your identity easily.
Yeah. And you've had like your family has said a lot of crap about you and yeah. like has been unsupportive of your career.
Yeah.
And if you ruminated on that and if you did just like stay silent or keep in that cycle, I agree that is like letting them control you.
Yeah. And where would we be?
Exactly.
Where would I be today if I believed what they said? Mm-hmm. Next is realize that avoiding problems doesn't promote growth. When problems arise in our lives, we tend to react by immediately trying to get rid of them and the feelings that they bring. Eileen tried everything in her power to avoid experiencing even the slightest discomfort and pain, which fueled her urge mm-hmm. to please. Because when we avoid our problems and try to get rid of them immediately, we only make things worse for ourselves in the future.
Yeah. And it goes back to what you just said, because it's so true. Like, we people please because we don't want to feel uncomfortable. The way that you can feel when you set a boundary or when you speak up about something or whatever it is, when you're not used to doing that, it sucks. Like yeah. it's, you have negative emotions, like you have fear. It brings up all of like your trauma, or all of the things that are subconscious in you. And who wants to feel that way? No one. So that's why we avoid and people please, is because we're like, I don't like this feeling. Like, I want to avoid this at all costs. So here, yeah. you do what you want. Like, I'll just go along with it.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable on both sides.
Yeah.
It's like, no matter what you do, you're going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so choose your discomfort there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be uncomfortable for a while. And then it's not. Like, you'll start to feel stronger in your decisions. And it's, again, like I said earlier, there's such a freedom that comes to it. So you can stay in discomfort for your whole life and not truly live up to your potential, or you can stay in discomfort for a little season and then really live and flourish. Like, yeah. choose your discomfort here. Next is start navigating anxiety. When we make anxiety-based decisions, we aren't being true to what we really want. Lord help me, Jesus, this is so me. Mm-hmm. We act impulsively based on instinct, inevitably causing us to experience more anxiety in our lives. Like, that's just so true. And when she learned to better manage her instinctual urge to please, because that's the thing, like, it usually stems from childhood and it is an instinct, it's subconscious. She found herself on more solid ground in her relationships with her friends and family and herself. How do you feel about that?
I think back to every Christmas that Drew and I have been together, we always like joked, like we joke now, but listen, a few years ago, it wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
It was like, we had anxiety on top of anxiety,
yeah.
like an anxiety sandwich for Christmas, because it was like, you go into these situations and you're so, you feel defensive before you even get there.
Yes.
So it's like you build yourself up with this anxiety of like, what's going to be said? Like, what's going to happen? What's going to unfold? And you walk in defensive and then it's just like,
that sets
everything,
the tone.
Yeah. Everything is off-putting. And so that's something that we had to do and made a hard decision that we're going to on Christmas. We're creating our own traditions because we don't want our kids to feel this warfare like in our families on Christmas. So we're just going to create our own traditions within our own home. We would talk ourselves up on the way to like family Christmas, like, okay, talk through the anxiety, and it just, it's not worth it.
Yeah. I just had the thought pop when you were talking about your kids and family, like, if you're people pleasing and you're in this cycle and you have kids and you're listening to this, you're teaching your kids this same cycle. Yes. Like, you're teaching your kids to also be people pleasers, to also not be their authentic selves, to I can't say that. Like, I need to let this person have what they want or whatever it is. Like, you're teaching them to not set boundaries. And you have to think of how is my kid going to grow up now? Yeah. Because I'm setting this example. I'm their role model. And you know, I'm unhealthy, so therefore they're going to be unhealthy.
Yes, I see this in my son. He's 8. But even in something as simple as like, hey, do you want ice cream? He's like, well, do you want ice cream?
God love.
And I'm like, do you want ice cream? You know, because I just, and I try to reiterate every question back to him because it's like, it doesn't matter what I want. Exactly. Do you want it? And I just see those little tiny things in him. Now, Sailor, you know her. She's like, yes, I want ice cream, you know, but I just see that in him. And I'm trying so hard as a parent to like teach him, hey, buddy, like it's about you.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to take yourself into account. And he, I just see that in him already.
Yeah. Bless God. He's so precious.
Okay. Next. Learn self-acceptance. Self-acceptance is an ever-evolving process, and it's up to each one of us to get that process in motion. Once she learned and accepted her worth, she was able to start taking on the project of becoming her best self.
Mm, that's so good. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do is like accept ourselves, because society, our traumas, everything comes back to not being your true self, or like hating yourself, or insecurities, or you know, just all the things that we as women face. And how many of us actually accept ourselves?
Yeah, it's hard. I feel like for me, it is that trauma of past relationships, whether it's like a relationship I was in high school. It's like you, things that people say, you don't understand the weight of people's words, but they really do stick with you.
Yeah.
But it was like when I lost, have you heard that quote? It's like, when you, the best weight you can lose is the weight of other people's opinions.
Oh,
like that is the truest thing ever, because until you do that, you're never going to evolve into who you're called to be.
Yep. And when we don't accept ourselves and like see our worth, it does keep that cycle going, because it's like, well, my needs don't matter as much as their needs. And so I'm just going to stay silent, or I have to not set a boundary here because what they want is more important. Like, you just automatically assume someone else is more important than you. I'm not worthy to have what I really want. I'm not worthy to say what I need to say. I'm not worthy of boundaries because I don't matter. I get it. Like, I was like that. Like, I say it in like every freaking episode, but therapy's so good. Like, I'm just so healthy since I've worked through so much of this in therapy. And it's just, I'm a freaking living testament to how it just works if you're honest with yourself. If you do the work, if you push through the discomfort, it's just so worth it.
So it's never too late to live a free life, one that's finally on your own terms and balanced. For us and Eileen, breaking out of the people-pleasing trap didn't happen because we prayed that other people would change. Instead, we decided to find ways to change our own responses to people, discovering the roots inside of us and realizing how unhelpful my pleasing behaviors were to us and those around us.
So we want to invite you to revive your spirit by meditating on this scripture. We said it earlier, it's Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Think of that. That is a great question to ask ourselves when we're spending time with God, when we understand our own motives, we can determine whether we're truly serving God or whether we're serving ourselves.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.
Stuck in a dinner rut? We've all been there. Bored with the same takeout options or eaten a bowl of cereal for dinner. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with ready-to-heat, chef-crafted meals delivered straight to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a thriving community of award-winning chefs keep your meal options endlessly delicious. With a team of over 160 culinary innovators creating an ever-expanding lineup of small-batch dishes, Cook Unity serves up more than 400 irresistible meals for every craving. Plus, you can pause, skip, or cancel anytime, making it easy to find a plan that fits your tastes, schedule, and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/mealtime50 or enter code mealtime50 before checkout for 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks. That's 50% off your first week and 20% off your next 3 weeks at cookunity.com/mealtime50.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.